Delivered from the Power of Satan, Chapter 45. Come, in our thoughts we will return to the nine disciples who had remained at the foot of the mountain while the Lord Jesus, Peter, James, and John had climbed the mountain. These nine disciples had fallen asleep. The following morning, when the day began to dawn, and they awoke, now they are waiting their master's return. Suddenly they frighten, for in the distance they see many people coming toward them. They would rather not meet them now, because they at present are greatly discouraged and sad. The thought of Jesus suffering and dying worries them. And they look toward the multitude in strained anticipation. Secretly, they hope these people will go another way. But no. The people walk directly toward them. Soon they will meet. The disciples feel insecure, nervous, and agitated. What must they say to these people who are looking for their master? Jesus is not with them, and they do not know when he will return. They would not have been so nervous had their master been with them. Their master would talk to the people. But now they must do the talking. Soon the large crowd surrounds them. One of the men from among this group walks forward. He has with him a young boy possessed by the devil. Just see how afflicted the child is. This lad's eyes roll wildly in his head. He pulls his arms and legs convulsively. White foam comes upon his pale lips. The deeply distressed father had expected to find Jesus, but to his great disappointment, he finds only nine disciples. However, because Jesus is not present, he turns to the disciples and asks them to cure his afflicted child. The disciples look at each other. It is true. A short time before, Jesus had sent them out to preach, and at that time he had given them power over unclean spirits. Soon after, they had returned joyfully and cheerfully. They had preached, had cured the sick, and even the devils had been subjected to them. Now, once again, one possessed by the devil is brought to them. This time they are not so sure of their task, and they are very much in doubt whether they will succeed. You can be sure they cast many anxious glances up the mountain to see whether Jesus was coming. But no, disappointedly they again turn their faces toward the multitude. What should they do? It has become quiet, far too quiet for the wavering disciples. Every eye is directed upon them. The father anxiously waits with his only child. His sad eyes are upon the disciples of the Lord Jesus. The people cannot continue to wait, so the disciples finally decide to try to cure the child. And they do not know whether they will succeed. They have great doubts. At this moment, they miss the assurance of faith. Hearken. Finally they say, "We command thee, go out of the lad." Their voices tremble as they doubtfully utter the words. Will the unclean spirit leave the lad? Will he obey their command? There is a moment of anxious quietness as all wait in suspense. Ah, nothing happens. The child remains possessed by the devil. The devil refuses to leave his prey. The disciples are ashamed as they stand exposed to the ridicule of all these people. Helplessly they stare at the father and his afflicted child. Suddenly a few men who are scribes walk forward. A mocking grin curls upon their lips. Aha! Now they have something. Now they can ridicule the followers of this hated Jesus of Nazareth. We read in the Bible the scribes were questioning with them. Probably, they scoffingly said, "Why can't you cast out the devil? If your master really is the Son of God, if he really is the Messiah, why doesn't he help you now? Why doesn't he give you the power to help this afflicted child? Don't you see? Everything is lies and deceit. Now it is evident." Oh, the scribes are happy they can ridicule and deride the disciples. They also are glad they can speak disdainfully about the Lord Jesus. Do they have sympathy for this poor boy? Why, no. They never think of him. Their only thought is to be able to cool their hatred and rage. See them standing triumphantly looking at the multitude with a proud smile upon their lips. The disciples are silent. They are perplexed and ashamed. They do not know how to answer the scribes. They feel miserable and wretched. There stands the disappointed father with no hope of his poor boy being delivered from the hellish spirit. There stand the beaming scribes using this opportunity to ridicule and shame Christ's disciples. And there stand the people who push forward inquisitively so as not to miss anything. You easily can understand, boys and girls, why this was torture for the disciples. You would not like to be ridiculed and put to shame, would you? It would not be pleasant for you. Nor was it pleasant for the disciples. Suddenly, all eyes are turned in one direction. There stands the Lord Jesus with Peter, James, and John. They had come unnoticed. The people begin to throng the Lord Jesus. They are amazed. They do not understand where he has come from so suddenly. Their thoughts have been so engrossed with the disciples' unsuccessful efforts in curing the boy, and that they had not seen him coming. They all go to him and greet him respectfully. A sigh of relief rises from the hearts of the 9 disciples as they realize their master is present. Nevertheless, the Lord Jesus knows how troubled his disciples have been. He knows what difficult moments they have gone through. He immediately helps his disciples. He asks the scribes searchingly, "Why question ye with them?" However, the scribes do not answer. They think it a pity Jesus has come. Wouldn't they have chuckled if the father had to return with his child without obtaining his desire? In a short time, this failure would have been known far and wide. The respect and regard of the people for the Lord Jesus and his disciples would have declined. This was their desire. Therefore, the scribes sulkily draw back and are quiet. The scribes do not give an answer. No, but at once the voice of the father of the lad with the unclean spirit rings out through the breathless silence. "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Do you hear what he said? "I have brought my son unto thee." The real intent of the father was to bring his child to Jesus, but when Jesus was not there, he had asked the disciples to cure him. Listen to what the Father says. "I spake to thy disciples that they should cast out the devil, but they could not." The Lord Jesus answers, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." This was a rebuke for the unbelieving disciples, but also for the disputing scribes. The boy is brought to the Lord Jesus. Oh, look, the lad falls upon the ground, rolling round and round, pulling himself convulsively. The foam enters his mouth. Poor child, it is terrible to see such suffering. What came into the heart of the father? It was his child, his only child. Jesus remains very calm. Composedly he asks the father, how long ago is it since this came unto him? Jesus means, when did he get this? Did he have this ailment long? Immediately the father answers, from his childhood. He begins to relate how much anxiety they as parents had experienced with this child. How happy the father and mother were when this babe was born, for he was their first child. But alas, their happiness didn't last long. It soon appeared their child had a dreadful sickness. He was insane. Time after time, the boy had violent attacks, and it appeared as though their only darling were demented. The evil spirit had entered this child. Besides, this lad was deaf and dumb. The parental pair had to watch him night and day because he was not safe alone for one moment. Many times the devil would cast him into the fire, and if the concerned father had not pulled him out quickly, he would have been burned alive. At other times the hellish spirit would cast him into the water. He surely would have drowned if his father had not rescued him. The devil is very cruel, isn't he? The devil continually tried to murder this child. When the father is finished with his grievous narrative, he cries out, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. These words echo like a cry of distress. Alas, this father believed not in the omnipotence of the Savior. Listen to what he says, if thou canst do anything. He is doubting whether Jesus is able to help his child. Maybe this case is too severe. Helplessly he looks at Jesus. Jesus says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. To be sure, faith is just the thing the father is lacking. The disciples were not able to cure his son. Will the prophet of Nazareth be able to do it? Oh, he feels the doubt and unbelief in his heart. He sees his poor child lying in a convulsion upon the ground. Then the deeply sorrowing father begins to weep bitterly. Lord, I believe, he cries tremblingly. But the assurance of faith is lacking in his voice. Oh, that unbelief and that unbelief. He cannot drive it away. Therefore he prays, help thou mine unbelief. It is as if he says, O Lord, thou requirest of me to believe in thee, but I cannot. I am full of unbelief. I cannot pull unbelief out of my heart. Help me. Grant it to me. Make me believe in thee. And wilt thou take the unbelief out of my heart? The multitude listened to all this amid breathless quietness. Those in the rear push forward. The suspense rises. The Lord Jesus knows and understands the strife which is being waged in the heart of this distressed father. Jesus directs himself to the evil spirit and commands, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. The King of Kings speaks here. Jesus does not request, he commands. The devil must obey. Oh, Such a defeat for the Prince of Darkness. Certainly he must let the child go, but he will attempt to quickly murder him. He tries to rend the child to pieces. We read in the Bible, "And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him." Look, the lad lies motionless, his eyes closed. It seems as though Jesus had come too late. Many of the Jews think so. "Alas, he is dead," resounds compassionately from all sides. And really, it appeared so. However, the multitude is mistaken. The assistance of the Son of God never comes too late. See what is happening. The Lord Jesus stoops and takes the lad by the hand. The Lord lifts the boy, and he stands. He did not die. It only seemed so. The boy stands there, healthy and in his right mind. The wild expression in his eyes has disappeared. He talks and hears. He is completely cured. "Here is your son," Jesus says to the father, as he gives him his only child. Behold, the father and son walk away side by side. An unknown joy fills the heart of this man. He need no longer keep a fast hold upon his son. From now on, he can sleep peacefully, without fearing or dreading his child will burn or drown in the meantime. They enter their home, and where there is much happiness. He tells with emotion what has taken place. Deep respect for Jesus fills the hearts of these people. The scribes also go away. They are not so happy. On the contrary, they are disgruntled and dissatisfied. All things again have worked to the honor and glory of the hated Nazarene. Isn't there any thankfulness in their hearts because this afflicted boy has been delivered from such a great misery? Thankfulness? Not a bit. They clench their fists angrily as their eyes flame with powerless rage. They, too, have received a formidable defeat. These people also return homeward. Together they converse about what has happened. The Pharisees and scribes may say what they like, and they may attempt to ridicule Jesus. However, he is a mighty prophet. This cannot be denied. Jesus and his disciples also go away. They enter into a house. Timidly and bashfully, the nine disciples approach Jesus. "Lord," they ask softly, "why could not we cast out the unclean spirit? Why could we not cure the demented child?" Their master's answer is, "Because of your unbelief. You doubted in your heart. You trusted too much in your own strength. If you had faith, even if it were very, very small, you would be able to do anything in my name. Even mountains would be removed by you. Nothing shall be impossible unto you." You can learn from this narrative how mighty and cruel the devil is. And now, children, you all lie under the power of the Prince of Darkness. Only the Lord Jesus can deliver you from Satan's power. He is mightier than all the devils together. Do you know what is saddest of all? You do not realize you are slaves of the devil. May God open your blind eyes so you may see the deadly danger in which you are. No longer serve sin, but ask the Lord to deliver you from it. Jesus could save this boy possessed by the devil, and he is able to save you from the eternal destruction.